there was two parents with three kids that just completely quit on a flight.
Oh, really?
They're just like, they're kicking, they're screaming.
And they just let them go?
That's what it was.
I think there needs to be
enemies of an entire plane.
Well, they're terrorists.
Yeah.
That is a terrorist act.
Yeah.
When you have children, and listen, I don't have kids. I'm not one of these guys that's going to tell you what to do when you have kids. But I travel a lot.
Yeah.
If you watch people give up on protecting the plane from their children,
you have two responsibilities.
That is a terrorist act.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's plane first, then the kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would. That's exactly it.
Protect the plane from the kids.
I would go, it's a three-step process. Make sure your kids are safe, that they're okay.
Yeah.
Plane, then your kids' attitude. Your kids' attitude falls third.
I think the move, have you ever gotten like earplugs and a little note?
Oh, yeah, yeah, where they give like little Hershey kisses and like, sorry, our little baby is a screamer.
But what if you one-up it and like, sorry, they're severely autistic, but they're not.
I mean,
so you set the expectations.
I think lying about retardation should be way higher than it is.
Normalize.
Because I normalize lying about retardation. Because I have, you know what that is with your parents? I've like, my mom drank.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was an alcoholic. But sometimes when things are going bad, you overdo that. To give yourself like, wow, my mom's like, you know, a problem.
And, yeah.
But she never knows that I do that. Right. Only the people that I'm explaining it to.
Yeah. But
so do that with your children. Go like.
The expectations would be so low if you gave out a note that was like, sorry.
My kid's crazy tarded.
Yeah, he's got the tism.
Yeah.
Something fierce.
Watch out. There's a tardo tornado behind you.
Yeah.
And like, you're going to have to deal with it.
He cried the whole time, but did he bite you?
Yeah.
No. But
no, he didn't. He didn't slap himself. He let it
five
go.
Five stars.
So these people that gave up on their kids, when did they give up? When did they stop?
An hour and a half into a 4.5 hour flight.
So they attempted it.
So they were playing. They're playing zone. So they had mom on two. Dad on one.
Okay.
And
they had to have dad key up on the biggest guy. They had dad.
Mom was on the oldest, the daughter, but then the two boys were on the left side, and she just goes, they're kicking each other, they're screaming, I can't. So he goes over.
Now, where were you in all this?
Directly behind dad.
You're watching, which is great, because you don't want to be listening. You want to see what's going on.
You want the benefit.
You have the eyes on it.
Yeah. So they stand up and switch. Dad tries for like 10 minutes and it just ramps up. And both of the kids got themselves to the like that point. So dad just goes, I quit too.
Yeah.
He gets the daughter and puts her with the boys.
So they just lined them all up.
So it's just psycho row of like, and the daughter caught it the second she went over there.
It's yeah. So, and how much older was she? What are the ages? What are we talking about here?
So at first I was thinking like, okay, this is a baby. The one that I couldn't see, like maybe it's just teensy and like having the ear thing. This motherfucker's waist high. And then the rest of them were too. I would.
When you think someone is younger, and acting, and you realize they're older, I had a joke on my HBO special that was 100% true about a kid that screamed an entire 4-hour flight, and I was like, "Well, it's a baby. I forgive it. It's a baby." And then we landed, and I was in front of it, and behind, I hear the baby go, "Mom, I didn't like," and it like started talking, and I was like, "Dude. You're an enemy now. You're an enemy. Because I will give you
Mom
the screaming."
Mom doesn't listen, so he starts speaking in Spanish. Like, this fucking kid's bilingual.
Bilingual. He's like, mi nombre es like, you piece of shit.
Necesito.
Just lay down. Do something, dude. Speaking of out of control children. Myrtle, lay down. Yeah, she's in a room with people. She's like, this is about me, right?
Yeah.
You guys are all going nuts that I'm here. kids... More than one kid traveling, I don't know how you do it. It's if you're why a parent, people just, I just know that every time I'm in an airport and I see someone with more than one child, my heart goes out to them. Yeah. I genuinely have the moment where we're in the terminal where I'm like, man, I hope this is just goes. It's like a vet.
Slash, I hope you're as far away from me as possible.
Don't even come near me. Don't even come near me. But I do treat him with like a little bit of like a veteran's respect where I'm like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for keeping that away from me. But when they give up, so the kids start kicking. The guy puts the daughter with the boys.
Yeah.
And then she gets into it.
It's just a melee. I mean, it was unchecked for 3 hours. The only time
was there any interference by the airline where like the mm-hmm. stewardess going by and being like, hey, can we give your kids some
Benadryl?
Dramamine?
Yeah, no, there is.
And they're just screaming.
There's no intervention. The only worse experience that I've had was, so I had the best and worst Greyhound bus experience ever.
It's impossible to say that you had the best Greyhound bus experience. Every Greyhound bus experience is just a fucking nightmare.
Dude, out of Hustler, that or like a penthouse letter, that it was a completely packed, not flight, completely packed bus. And I'm doing the thing where I would like lay down and like start twitching and shit.
Yeah, you gotta act. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
And again, whooping. It's been a while since I've ridden a bus, yeah. But I remember
whooping cough.
Yeah, you cough a lot. you move. Crazy. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What I do is I spread the wings. I like spread my legs. So mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, if you're coming in here, my knees hit the back of the seat. So we're going to be, I'm boxing you out of most of the legroom in the thing.
Yeah. So that's at play. It's a completely packed, stinking ass bus. And the door's about to close. I think it did close, opens up, and then I get a tap on my shoulder.
So you got the seat next to you empty.
I had it locked up. Damn. Only seat on the bus.
Tough fight. That's a tough fight.
And
because people are watching and you're doing the Forrest Gump. Seat's taken.
And Angel is standing in front of me. She's like, can I sit here with you? This girl is gorgeous. She's like,
can I tell you right now already? Why are you on a Greyhound?
Got a dick.
Yeah. Hot girls don't ride the bus.
Hot girls, broke in 20.
Hot.
You know?
Broke in 20, still don't ride the bus. You got to be doing heroin. You got to be doing something.
Well, the rest of the story will let you know that she did have very low self-esteem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a hot girl on a bus?
Yeah.
That is the equivalent of attainable.
We're going to DC. And with,
from here?
From Philly.
Okay.
Within half an hour, she's like, do you mind if I sleep on your shoulder? Not at all.
Oh.
And then it turns
She has wrecked lives. She's wrecked lives that you have no idea that you are about to be in the wake yeah, of a woman that just comes through and destroys men.
I mean, this was 20 years ago. There's got to be so many abandoned children.
Beautiful woman just going like, can I sweepy on your shoulder? And you're on a Greyhound. You're looking.
It turns into like a cuddle with her hand on my tum-tum. And fully rocked up at this point.
And yeah, dude, anytime someone like,
yeah, by the time
the touching of a stranger when it gets to like your stomach, you're like, oh, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that ain't no shoulder, lady.
Yeah, you better fucking watch your hands, lady.
Yeah. And I mean, it culminated that like for the last 10 or 15 minutes into DC, we're like full on making out.
Yeah, on the bus?
On the bus.
Is it daytime?
It's noon.
No way, dude. Yeah. No way. Because if I'm a seat back or two rows back and I watch, they're like, can I sit here? And you go, well, they don't know each other. And then just hearing kissing noises when you're like, when you're like driving through Virginia and you just hear like, you're like, no way. No fucking way.
I love that that's also your kissing sound still as a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just peanut butter in your mouth.
What do you kiss like? You're having a bus makeout. Don't act like this is a wedding kiss. You're having a fucking bus makeout. There's zero proper about that. Hey.
Well, it's just a reminder that you're a voice is not a sound effects guy. You know, yeah. Michael. You're still no Michael Winslow.
I'm impressed. Yeah, dude. Have me do Obama, not kissing SFX.
Yeah. So. Dude, so I get off, and
This bitch really tests me every time. I love her so much, but she's like, I am sitting down.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's just that. We just, like, make out as she gives me a landline number to call her at.
Nah.
As you would have guessed.
No.
Does not pick up.
Oh, no. Right?
Probably wrong number or whatever.
But you get a number, so you're like.
But I get off that bus. Cloud nine.
You think you're in love.
Greyhound is the shit.
You're also, like, at that point, wondering if this is the story you're going to tell your children about how you met their mother.
Dude, I have game.
Yeah, you're like, oh, what did I do? I just picked up a hot girl on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
Philly to D.C.
Yeah.
Two big heroin cities.
Asterix, she was going to make out with whoever the fuck she said.
A toothless guy could have been just sitting there and she'd been like, can I sit down? Now, when you're making out.
Yeah.
Are there any like promises made? Are you going like, hey, we should meet up. Hey, we should like hang out.
No, it was just in the moment. And then like, you know, I'm visiting my friends. You're visiting your friends. Let's all get together.
And she said yes.
Yeah.
She's like, let me give you a number.
Yeah. And she was probably going to her boyfriend's house.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Being the guy that picks her up at the bus station and he's like, baby, how was your drive? She's like, it was nice. I met a guy. He was like super nice. We just talked the whole time. Yeah. Not knowing that you're like.
Right.
You guys are tongue flicking.
Also, I might have a cold.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Also, it's pretty weird. I didn't check the guy's lips, but
right.
Just heads up for the next 3 to 6 months.
So, less than 48 hours later, I'm back on the Greyhound bus, and it's completely packed, and I've got penthouse letters in my mind.
Right? Well, you think you're like, I wonder if I'm going to get a brunette this time.
Yeah. Who am I fucking this time?
Yeah. Uh-oh. It's the Greyhound Casanova. Yeah.
Oh, that chemical turtle, it's a little stinky, but I could manage.
Yeah, you're like, as long as no one's shitting in the bathroom.
Yeah.
As long as no one's pooping in the bathroom of the Greyhound. I think I'm about to fuck. Am I about to fuck on the way back to Philly? Yeah. It's such a funny.
Or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. So, most Greyhounds, it's like survive in advance.
So the next Greyhound.
And this is 2 days later.
2 days later. Who's the comic that had Bebe's kids?
Oh, we were just talking about him.
Bebe's kids. Them Bebe's kids.
Who the fuck was I just talking about?
Wasn't Rudy something?
I don't know, but.
Okay. Bebe's kids were on the next bus.
Oh, man.
That some fucking lady has like four kids with her. It's another packed bus. And they have not slide whistles. What are the ones Kazoos? That had the little fan that.
Kazoos.
No, not a kazoo.
I think that's a kazoo has the fan on the top.
No, but a kazoo's long. It was
it's like a little thing with a circular fan on top.
No, this was all one piece.
Yeah, it was that's a little a kazoo. It's like it looks a like a little bullet, like a shotgun shell.
Yeah.
And it's got the fan in the middle. That buddy, technically is a kazoo.
Buddy.
And those things are great.
All four of these kids have.
You can't do that on a bus.
Have kazoos.
You can't do that on a bus.
And. Dude.
That's the noise they make, right?
Yeah. And it just keeps going. Yeah. You are a sound effects guy.
So yeah. I mean, I was going to make. I didn't want to say it, but I was going to make you eat your shit after you said that. You're walking into a fucking, you're going to get killed.
You just calm down to thunder, brother.
Resin brain, I couldn't think of a word. I was like, you're going to walk into,
the thing that you walk into.
Hey, the thing you're over there. I'm thinking four kids with kazoos.
Yeah.
Is worse than 13 hijackers with box cutters.
Any day, dude.
Those are your fucking.
It took about.
That's your 9/11.
It took about an hour and a half, and me and a fat old black lady next to me gave each other a look like, let's roll.
You guys, Flight 93. Yeah. You're like, we're going to fucking drive this into a field.
I called my parents, told them I love them.
What's happening, Richie? You go, I'm about to confront a black mom with four kids with kazoos. Shit's about to happen.
I said farewell to the rest of my gay rugby team. Funny.
Oh, fuck. That's so funny. That's your Flight 93. And you're like, fuck, please God, up in heaven. You're like, yo, I walked to the valley. Miss, can you shut your fucking kids up?
It was.
Who? Did anyone say anything?
It was me.
White guy, dangerous.
Only honky on the bus.
Oh.
But, I mean, dude, I mean,
how many uh-uhs did you get hit
there
with?
There was so much eye contact. I mean, it was like just any, we're all looking around and like.
Everyone needs doing that, which, by the way, that is something that white people specifically excel at, is looking at other people and sighing. It's going like this. Like, here are times I've looked at other white people and gone like, or anybody.
Dude, me and Dustin Chaffin went to The Conjuring in Times Square.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, shit. Don't go in there, girl. You know. Dustin just keeps a cowboy hat, keeps turning around.
Ain't going to stop it. Ain't going to stop it.
Yeah.
So you're on this. So at what point? What broke you to go, I'm going to say something?
It was an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they had reached a point. It went from like pinging each other, like one would do it, and then 10 seconds later, the other one would do it.
Yeah.
Until they reached a state of cooperation so that it was constant whistle.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah, dude.
No rest.
They harmonized.
Well, you got to let that fucker whiz. Yeah, you got to let it whirl. So they were timing it so that when one peaked, the other one went, and between the five
of them. It's actually kind of beautiful. That's like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They learned how to like.
Oh, they weren't Mormons, brother.
Yeah, dude. And honestly, when you're little.
Or Methodist, if you know what I mean.
A little Southern Baptist. It really is one of those ones where if you're a kid, you're on their side, and if you're an adult, you're on, every adult's on your side, every kid is on their side. If we broke this argument down, kids would be like, no, that's fun, that's awesome that they were timing it out. Every adult is like, how long until you snapped?
So it was, I think, an hour and a half, 2 hours top.
So you're getting close to like two-thirds of the way there.
No, we're halfway probably, I think. It finally, that just from my seat without standing up or anything, just, can we stop with the fucking whistles? And
that's the
dude, fucking applause break.
No,
the whole bus was just like, yeah, shut the fuck up with them goddamn whistles.
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need those circles opening like fucking the end of Avengers. You need people coming through.
Right.
You need people coming through an Endgame.
Jumping through the warp. Like,
you need black women coming out going, he's right. You need that back because Thanos,
Thanos. He is right though. Kids.
Yeah. So they applaud.
Yeah.
But you're guilty.
I mean, I was the asshole, but yes. I was very prepared to be the asshole.
So what's the fallout?
Did they
stop?
They did actually. The mom grabbed the whistles.
Okay.
That it was just.
All right. Be the change you want to see.
It was an overwhelming amount of peer pressure. It was the opposite of the like dance like crazy so you don't get booed in a big venue.
Yeah. So you. Hey, guys. Coming up. Got some fun dates. I'm going to be at the Columbus Funny Bone May 31st and June 1st doing four shows. Bringing my buddy Cy Amuse, who is hilarious. It's going to be awesome shows. Funny Bone, Columbus, Ohio. And then the Fully Loaded Tour with Bert Kreischer. Me and Big J are on every date. And it's going to be fun as hell, man. Outdoors. It's just a giant party. So come check out the Fully Loaded Tour. And then this fall, doing some theaters I'm excited about. Toronto. I'm coming to the Queen Elizabeth Theater November 9th. Then Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to be at the Vic Theater December 6th. And then Milwaukee, Wisconsin, going to be at Turner Hall Ballroom December 7th. For all those tickets, go to dansoder.com. You really, I know you said it was the best and then the worst. Myrtle is just about to destroy every wire in this room because she wants her goddamn chew toy. You went from being, and I know in your mind, the makeout ride was the best and the whistles was the worst. But in reality, you went from being the villain to the hero. You were the villain when you're making out on a bus. I hate you. I hate you. I see a pretty girl sit down next to you and you guys are making out by the end of the bus ride. Fuck off.
Dude, she was 13.
Yeah, she's just like, my dad says I can ride the bus. And you're like, her braces, sure, her braces cut my tongue up a little.
Did I mention she was well underage?
Yeah, dude, that what a reveal.
She was a runaway.
You groomed her on a run. You go, hey.
She had a little spindle stick.
She goes, I took all the candy and my dolls for the wine. And you're like, you know, DC's got a lot of fun slides. You were the villain on that ride, even though you, in your mind,
yeah, is I was a hero story. I was as selfish as possible, yes, by throwing my little.
You were a dick twitches when everyone was getting sat.
Uh huh.
You got the pretty girl.
Yeah.
She made out with you. You're a dickhead. Then you stopped the whistle, which I know in your mind was like, what a horrible ride. But there was someone on that bus that viewed you as a hero.
Yeah.
Hmm. Who maybe you gave a voice to the voiceless and someone was like, I wish someone would have fucking said something. And you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel luckier in retrospect that the shut the fuck up went well.
Dude, because if it doesn't, if you yell shut the fuck up and it's quiet, you are in trouble. Yeah. You're in trouble when you get to where you're going.
The luck of making out versus not getting slashed.
Yes.
By a whistle mom.
Yeah, dude. Whistle mom, by the way, that's just a bus ride to you. That's her whole life.
Yeah.
She bought those whistles.
They baby kids.
Which, by the way, terrible decision.
Oh, squeezy ball.
Squeezy ball, something. Non-noise making.
Yeah.
It's insane that you buy your kids four kazoo whistles.
And it was a choice.
For a Greyhound ride.
Yeah. It's not like all four Cracker Jack boxes landed on that.
You can also do, you know, anything that makes noise on a bus with your four kids, you're putting other people through that.
For sure.
And that's why you stood up and were the hero, but
did not stand up. I kept my anonymity.
Yeah, but people knew. With your enunciation of the word fuck, yeah, you said it the way only a fucking honky could say it. Right. Where you're like, yo, shut the fuck up. Also, white people spazzing is a very specific tone.
Absolutely.
It's a very like, Black people don't have that tone. It's bitchy.
What if I just black scented it? Hey, shut those motherfuckers up, man.
I'm not joking when I say there would have been a good chance I would have done that. In your situation,
hey, man,
as a voice guy,
hey,
or I would have gone, be quiet. Be fucking quiet. And then I dipped that back.
Hey, vato.
Shut the fuck up, bro. You guys are fucking loud. And they're like, why do you talk like that? You're like,
try to pin it on the one Korean man up front. I don't want no trouble. You put your whistle down.
And they're like, what the fuck? Or you just do like,
you go now.
Dude, I just hit a guy today with the no English. Walking to the subway.
But you go Eastern European.
Yeah. Of course I do.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going for the cell.
No speaky.
No, I went, yeah.
No English.
And they go, what? But the guy's like, can I talk to you? And I went, no English. And they're like, all right. Yeah, we got it.
So good.
I might have done it in the Russian accent. I might have gone, please be quiet. And they're like, all right, this immigrant man, God knows what wars this man has seen with his own eyes.
I feel like you could do a real good Montenegro if you...
I don't even know what that is.
It's a very oafish Balkan country.
But that's Eastern European, though.
It is, but there's...
Balkan Peninsula is former USSR.
But there's something very funny about it. It's like around like Bosnia-Herzegovina, I believe.
I would just hit him with Russian.
I had a maintenance man.
Do you think
man.
If I'm going regional, I'm like, I'm not... Who do you think I am, Fred Armisen?
Well, I had a maintenance guy that his catchphrase was, who's going to pay me for this?
Yeah,
and he showed up every time with no tools except these motherfuckers here.
He's like, who needs a wrench? I have hands that saved me from war. And you're like, damn, you tough motherfuckers.
I had a minor leak in my sink and he turned it into, I'm going to rip your sink off the wall.
Nah.
Who's going to pay for this?
Who's that? He's like, you are, motherfucker. You ripped it off the wall. That's insane. Have you ever had to... So for people that don't know, you went on the road with Cat Williams for 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
But you never had... You had experiences, but you never had bad experiences, right?
No, I mean, I had great experiences and quite a few. Am I good right here? And quite a few close calls.
What were the close calls?
So,
here's my question. You're on the road with someone that big.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried at any moment they're going to snap? Because he's a volatile guy. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Because in that situation, I know people, by the way, who publicly aren't. I think Kat has a bad rap for being insane, because I don't think he is. I think he's just very successful and particular with a little bit of crazy in there.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. There's a streak, you know?
There has to be a streak, because there's been too much proof. But so, I also think, honestly, if you ask me, I would guess lack of sleep drives that guy nuts. You catch him on 3 days no sleep, you might get some crazy shit happening.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that.
Yeah.
But there's certain NDAs in place, but...
Oh, really? Yeah,
no.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was like, that was going to make... that makes all the sense in the world if you're Cat Williams and you're like,
bet you got to sign this shit. You want to go on the road?
Yeah.
That is a shut the fuck up agreement.
Notice that it's retroactive?
I will sue your ass, baby. Pimping is litigious. ain't no better pimp than a lawyer.
Dude, an NDA, you're like, yeah, fuck. So, all right. Dude, when you sign an NDA, can we just talk about NDAs real quick? If you're signing an NDA, you are going into that knowing some shit's about to happen. If someone has an NDA with you, they are going to say some shit or fuck you or do something. And that's the whole point of the NDA. No one signs an NDA going like, well, this is going to be great.
Well, there's a reason why Jeter doesn't have any kind
women
of
women coming out being like
bag shit against him
because of NDAs.
NDA and a go bag. Apparently.
Yeah, but the go bag was like, I've heard stories of that. So the rumor is that Derek Jeter, really? Back in the day before he was married, when he was playing with the Yankees and he was a bachelor, he would fuck. I mean, his hit list is like Mount Rushmore. It's unbelievable. Yeah. He's got every hot girl ever from the 90s and the early 2000s. He would have them sign an NDA, but then after they slept with him, he would send them a gift basket with like a signed baseball and like
a rookie
merch
card.
Like, yeah, stuff that you could, if you held on to, probably worth something now.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor, and it's just a rumor.
Unopened swag bag, original.
I've heard a rumor that a woman slept with him, got a swag bag, slept with him again, and then he sent her the same bag, and she was like, I already got this. And I think that's so funny.
What's the point of bagging him the second time?
Yeah, where she was like, what are you doing?
Right.
I got it. I already had the signed baseball.
Yeah, right, which means him and his assistant both forgot that he already banged her.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. So, I dug her out.
So there was one tour where I think we did, it was like 70 cities, and he's very generous, and he puts a guest... like he gives a guest spot to a local every time.
Yeah. 70 cities, how many days?
It was over 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was on buses and shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The
sometimes guys do that where they go, we're doing 70 cities in like 81 days. And you're like, that's insane.
No, that's insane. No, we spread it out. So if it was 70 cities, there was 70 guest spots and 68 of them got booed off stage.
No way.
And
now on this tour,
and the two that didn't were because I cheated and I got Brooklyn Mike and Toure guest spots.
Yeah, Toure's a fucking murderer.
Both polished professionals.
I mean, Toure.
The rest of kills. Them, it would be like if we were there on Friday, Thursday night, they would send an email like, hey, if there's a local that would like to do an opening spot. You know, send us a clip.
Now, are you emceeing or where are you in the lineup?
The first tour I emceed, the second tour I featured, and then the third one, it was host, me, Mark Curry, who's
shit.
A hammer.
Yeah, dude, Mark Curry's low key, no one understands that Mark Curry, hanging with Mr. Cooper, is a fucking monster.
Jeez.
And is comfortable on stage on a level that I will never get to. Yeah. He is a seasoned pro who is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, he should be selling out arenas.
Why isn't he?
Did
he just not go on the road? Was it just,
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, other stuff?
So, well, let me get on track with this. So the game turned into that we would see this poor sweaty mess of a opener.
How long sets were they doing?
I think he would give them up to 8.
Okay. In an arena?
Yeah. And it was like, you know,
if you don't grab that momentum, dude.
It was probably a guy that just started hosting a local club.
For those of you that don't know, doing comedy in an arena when you're not prepared for it is swimming in the ocean when you don't know how to backfloat. You are putting yourself in a position where you're going to get fucking rolled.
Which I have experienced. When I was 6 months in, I did an amphitheater and got nuked.
Yeah, nuked. Absolutely laid out.
I was in between Memphis Bleek and Joe Budden.
Oh!
In what became known as the Free Beanie Concert.
Oh, no.
I actually got to tell Beanie Siegel the story in person.
That's fun.
Yeah. But so... The game turned into we would take a look at this poor bastard and figure out we would bet on how long he was going to last before he.
Oh, you do like a rodeo time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're like, when's he going to get bucked?
Yeah, exactly. And like nobody ever made it past 2 minutes or something like
because
that.
Because why would they start and then people would smell the fear on them?
Well, especially if it was like in the middle of the show. Because it was like they just saw Red Grant murder.
Sure.
And then, hey, we brought out this local guest spot. And this guy, computers, huh?
It's like, so you ever...
And dude, he's wearing his dad.
You ever go to your in-laws' house?
Yeah. Whew. White people be tripping.
White people don't have seasoning. They just don't like seasoning. Fuck.
And he's in his dad's suit and shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so...
Pimpin' ain't easy.
So I knew the dynamics very well of a stadium boo.
Yeah.
Or an arena.
You were like an old medicine man. You could tell when the rain was coming.
Exactly.
Like, there's about to be thunder in the sky. And everyone's like, shut up, old man. And you're like, it is coming.
I'll be in cave now.
You know what's funny? You really
I'll
are.
Be
you,
higher ground.
It really reminds me of the old man in horror movies where he's like, that cabin was haunted. A man died there. And then they go, shut up, old man. And then you're like, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you he would be back.
We're going to go do drugs,
yeah,
Pop.
Oh, shut up. We're going to go fuck and drink. And you're like, I wouldn't do that.
So, yeah. And the way that an arena boo works is that, much like my bus situation, there's a leader.
Yeah.
And the leader puts it out there first. And, you know, boo. And then it goes around the
people
the
go, do I feel like booing? People have to actively make that decision where they
perhaps
go,
perhaps I will.
Should I shut this motherfucker down?
Yeah. So it's like one missile goes out and then somebody else is like, I agree with him. Oh. Boo. And then there's like a 3 count and everybody else is like, yeah, we're with them. Boo! It just the fucking tidal wave hits.
In an action movie, when the rock drops, and you go, this place is going to go. That's what that is, because it's like, boo!
Yeah.
Let's get back to the show.
So there was one time ever that somebody booed, and it was in Charlotte, and I was in the middle of ripping, and this one guy started going off. And like, we were in the middle of this tour and I was really feeling myself. So I was just like, all right, fuck this guy. Hey, everybody point out this asshole. Hey, like a bunch of people point. It was like, can we put the lights on in that side? And like 2 seconds later, the lights came on and got to actually light a guy up, like crowd work heckler, smash this guy.
You destroyed a heckler?
I got 7,000 people to tell him to shut the fuck
That's
up.
That's great.
Like, yeah,
too bad you didn't get it on film and you could title it Richie Redding Destroys.
Destroys. Yeah. Go the full Hofstetter.
Dude, go full Hofstetter on it. Destroys, absolutely decimates, loser, fuck.
Heckler kills himself.
Guy fucking wants to die in his pants.
Self-ebbling.
Shits his pants because he's such a pussy. Comedian makes heckler shit his pants like a big pussy boy.
Diarrhea to doo-doo.
Ooh, diarrhea down his leg.
Heckler.
I mean, that is...
So,
turning the tide like that's got to feel good.
So that was like, holy shit, I can't believe I just did that. Like, yeah. I was in the moment like that. But then there was, so it's in, we're in Atlanta, and the Friday night show was the best set that I ever had. That it was like, it was 20,000 people, and like, could not have crushed any harder.
Sure.
So I'm on a total high, but Kat had, he's 35 minutes into his set, and we just hear, I'm going to be right back. And he gets off stage, and they all go around him, and then like 10 minutes later, they send somebody up like, hey, Kat has to go to the hospital. He's not feeling well. And everybody in the audience was like, so if he had the wherewithal to just say, Atlanta, I love you, good night, people would have been like, it was a short show, but that was great.
Sure. Right?
But because it's Kat and there's the baggage that, you know, the accusations,
sure,
as you say.
Sure.
People are like, oh, this motherfucker's on crack, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Sure.
But what really happened was that he got bit by a brown recluse spider like a week before, and he isn't a big doctor guy.
Sure.
So that he smoked off the poison.
That's crazy.
But then got a staph infection.
Fuck.
And the next day, it's still like, okay, the show's happening. And for the first time ever, they started the show without him being there.
Yeah.
And I'm featuring, right? And it's a shorter show at this point. So I go on stage and I'm peaking this set. I've got 20 minutes to do. I'm at the 17 minute mark. On track for every bit of as good of a show as the one before. There's 12,000 people there this time. And the stage lights split, and I see 12,000 pairs of eyes follow the second mysterious stage light as it gets closer to me and closer to me. And I feel tap, tap. Yo, man, do another 20 minutes. Cat's not here yet.
Oh, no.
And
because basically you've emptied all the clip. You don't have any bullets.
And I've
left.
Tightened everything up as much as humanly possible.
So right? It is. They are watching just, you go from a polished performance.
I just did a 30-minute set in 17.
Because
I trimmed all the fat off of it.
I had that happen to me about a year ago. Much smaller stakes. But the MC at the Cellar disappeared. And I thought I was doing 15 minutes, ended up doing 35.
Yeah.
And you're like, I already told you fragments of other jokes.
Yeah.
And then you try to go back into them, and you look like an insane person.
So just imagine there's 11,900 more people there. I turn back around, and I see 12,000 people looking at each other, and they all go, oh, hell no. He's not coming. Right? And now it's just survival mode. And all I'm thinking,
that's like zombies.
I'm thinking about,
that's like zombies, like looking at you and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. So I'm thinking two things. And one, don't get booed, because I know if one boo comes.
But how are you going to stop
the wave is coming. The other thing I'm thinking about is that one of my very good friends from college, who I haven't seen in like 15 years, is there. That I got him tickets. You know how you can think about a whole bunch of shit at once? So I'm thinking, don't get booed. Brooks is going to see it.
Brooks is watching you.
My ultimate nightmare is about watching to unravel. Your
friend. This is the dream where you show up at work without your clothes on.
Yeah, and a button dick.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Button.
Oh.
So, dude, it just turned, I literally have no idea what I did. It was just like
you're someone else's act.
In the back of my head, I'm just like,
you do old stuff, you do stuff.
I was literally thinking like dance, just fucking da, 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 da. It was just all jazz hands for another 20
It would have been great if Kat was there the whole time.
Kat was like, I just wanted to watch that white boy bleed. I wanted to watch you suffer.
Yeah,
that is fucking wild.
I just oversold the shit out of it. You know, I had like 3 5-minute stories in me that I
did. You that I ever hear a boo?
No, not one boo, because it would have been a cacophony. Like the whole,
yeah.
They would bring the house.
Yeah.
So
did he show up?
So the host comes back out and goes, folks, Cat had to be rushed to the hospital. We're going to reschedule this show, and y'all are going to get your tickets to the next show. Cat will be here with a whole different lineup, blah, blah, blah. And immediately is boo, boo.
Yeah. You're safe.
I heard.
You're in the bomb shelter.
I heard what was coming for me.
Dude, just, you missed it. You barely missed you. Oh, God.
But also immediately I'm like, bro. What the fuck? You don't know this?
Yeah.
This? He's like, what's that? It's like, stretch. Yeah.
Stretch. Everyone fucking knows stretch. The stretch. How?
And he's like, nah, I never heard of that. Like, go to the front.
That's so funny.
And
we just light you. We just light you weird.
Put up a sign that says, do an extra 20. Cat's not here. Like, it would have been hell if I was the only one that knew, and they'd be like, man, this white boy's going on.
Yeah, long. He's running the light. I respect the hell out of him.
Hump the stool, boy.
He goes, I bet this. Hump it. He goes, this kind of white boy to yell at a black mom on a greyhound. This white boy got pink nuts. Was there ever a moment, did you ever have like good moments with Cat?
Oh, yeah, a bunch.
There are moments where you just sat around and talked to him about comedy and shit. Because I imagine his opinion. He's not a guy, you know, you saw from the Shannon Sharp interview and in the Joe Rogan experience. He doesn't put himself out there a lot talking about comedy. But he's one of the most decorated, one of the greatest comedians of all time.
Yeah.
So it's cool to have that you were on the road with him and got that experience of like, talking to him about comedy.
Yeah.
Because I think he's specifically unique in as far as how he came up, where his fame came from, and how he's handled it.
I mean, look at what he does to himself in terms of that show that I told you of. You know, it was like an hour 10, hour 20 show sometimes before he goes on, and they just got beat up.
Yeah.
And then
he goes and kills on a level.
And he goes out and does an hour and a half of
murdering.
Just gets shot out of a cannon from the second he's there.
He said,
I want you to bury me. Like, make it fucking impossible.
I love that shit. I love that shit. I love when you find out that like great comics are like, no. Turn up the heat.
Yeah.
Let's really, Louis was doing The Garden. Louis did like five shows
did
at
you
The
do
Garden.
No.
I'm Louis's child's friend. That is exactly our relationship.
Okay.
He's Mr. CK to me. Louis doesn't fuck with me, but he doesn't not fuck with me.
Yeah.
Louis goes like, I've always explained this from the time I've met him. I'm like, Joe List is like one of his favorite people. Shane is one of his favorite people. I am like their friend that comes over after school where he's like, hi, Dan. And I'm like, hi, Mr. CK.
You're Boner.
I'm Boner. I'm Boner from Growing Pains. I'm Vinny from Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
I am the neighbor
You're
friend.
Climbing through Joe's window.
He's like, oh, Dan can't come to dinner. He's never been like, there's been times where he's talked to me about stand up just because I'm at the table, but he doesn't seek it out.
Yeah.
But he was doing five shows at The Garden, and he was following. I asked him like, who was opening? It was Greer Barnes. And I was like, you're following fucking Greer?
That's no joke.
At
dude.
Madison Square Garden. And he was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And I was like, oh, and it's like that kind of thing where you're like, oh, you want the challenge.
Right.
So you can overcome it and do awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, we all, without naming names, we all know people that put up some softies.
Stinkers.
In front of them.
Stinkers. Which I always thought, you don't have to go the Cat Louie route if you don't want to, but you're providing the show.
Yeah.
MC, a lot of times it's a local. I don't know what you're going to get with that. But if I bring a feature, most of the time, actually every time now that I can control it, my features are my friends, but they're also comics I want to watch. So they're comics that I immediately want the crowd to go like, well, here's somebody you should know because they're really funny. But guys that bring stinkers, you're like, it's almost mean to your crowd.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, sit through this.
Yeah, he's also my drug mule, just so you know. This guy is smuggling shit through TSA for me.
But the idea of like, get through this to get to me is like, I don't want you to have to eat vegetables before you enjoy me. Like, it should be a whole show. But I love that Cat is like, bury me. fucking do everything you can.
Yeah.
How did it, how are you guys now? Do you talk to him at all?
I mean, I haven't seen him in a couple years, but
yeah,
it's cool. He said he would have me on the road again.
That's awesome.
I don't know when that's happening.
It's just crazy.
Or when what his like, phone number, how many times his phone number has changed since.
I want to, I forget what year it was, but we were talking and I just hadn't seen you in a while and you were like, yeah, I'm on the road with Cat Williams. And I was like, you're just on the road with Cat Williams? I hadn't seen you in a while. And you're like, yeah. And I was like, that's the most random shit in the world. I did not expect you to say that.
Yeah.
But you told me a story. He was filming a special. I don't know what special it was where he split his pants.
Oh, yeah.
And then he came back out in different pants
and just finished
the special. Dude. Just kept going. You told me that story when you told me you're on the road with him. I was like, how is that? You're like, he fucking kills.
What was that special? It was...
It was before Jacksonville in 2019. I know that for sure. Yeah,
it was the Growth Spurt Tour, I think it was called. So it might have been like 2017 or something. Yeah. And it was the one where he had like actual lions and tigers on the stage with him. Which
I can't even do a podcast with my dog sitting at my feet. Worried about her chewing too loud.
Well, yeah. So like, you know, we're backstage running around... we've all got the nerves of like we're shooting this HBO special and we're in I think there was probably 15,000-20,000 people in this arena and then
that's so funny. It's
like a liger, but it turns out that when I was watching the Tiger King, it was like, oh, that's the guy. It was Doc Anton.
No way. No way. Oh, man. What a put together. You go, I know that motherfucker with that soul patch. Soul patch ass having fucking animal weirdo.
I did think it was weird that he rode in there on an elephant.
Yeah.
He's like, I got the own Dr. Doolittle. He bringing all his little friends. Ain't nobody the Tiger King. I'm the Tiger King. I like him being like, I don't need you. I'll command the tiger.
Take him out of the cage, please, sir.
That's so funny.
I would like to meet the tiger. I would like to shake his paw. Yeah.
I'm not going in the cage. He's coming out.
That's so fucking funny. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I was hosting that one. And Spike Lee was directing it, and it was like, you know, it was a whole thing. There's like the flying cameras on the big cranes and all that shit. So it's intense. And again, it's one of those where we are all expecting, okay, well, we're just going to do, we probably all do five, get him out there.
Sure.
Get him murdering.
Yeah. He wanted a full show.
Do your time.
No way.
Do your time.
I love it. I fucking love Cat Williams.
So, dude. Yeah. So the show starts late.
You got a full show in front of it. You got a full hour show in front of a taping.
No. Starts late.
Oh.
Before
got
that.
It. I got it.
Yeah. And we finally get him on stage and it's like, like everything's good.
You know?
And I always would walk to the back with Chris Smith, his agent. We would just watch him like, you know, from this crazy zoomed out view. And Chris had been all nervous, but we finally got him on. So he's like, all right, this is going good. Right. This is going good. And he's like, and we hear, I'll be right back. Like, so we weren't thinking, it hadn't happened yet where he got on stage. So, but we're just like, what the fuck is happening? And the stage is just empty. And at first, because it's Cat, people are like, oh, what's he doing?
He's setting something up.
And then it's like 1 minute, 2 minutes, a few minutes goes by, and Chris is like, there's an empty stage. Go get on stage. It's like, what? He's like, go do fucking time. Like, just wait for him to get out there. Just vamp. Like, seriously? And he, like, pushes me, and he starts running down the stairs, and I'm slow walking this thing.
You're like, no. You don't want to have to do this if you don't want to do this.
They had already seen me, you know.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not fucking doing this.
Yeah, it's like, dude, and he's 25 minutes into crushing, and then we're bringing Whitey back.
That's so funny.
It's a no for me. So... Yeah, I slow walk as much as I can. I go like around
that's
the arena.
That's so funny. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, we need someone on stage. And you're like, coming.
Yeah, like yeah. We're like here.
I'm on my way.
We're here in the arena. I have to get here, so I go that way.
That's funny. Yeah, like, yeah.
Be right there.
Yeah, we're coming around.
And thank God, by the time I got back, they had just put a new pair of pants on him, and he goes back out. But yeah, he did some kind of deep bend, and all of his shit is custom made.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like he gets Louis Vuitton pants and then gets them cut by a tailor.
Love it.
And yeah, he did some kind of bend, and like his whole ass was out. And instead of doing so the great. Rest of it, he just fucking.
He's like, time out. I need new pants. My butt is showing.
Dude, I love that. I fucking love that shit. Damn, dude. I kind of want to go on the road with Cat Williams.
I recommend.
And not get booed.
I suggest it.
End of every episode, ooh. We have people open up a 1989 pack of NBA hoops cards.